Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Fast passes, bro.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from Discount Drug Mart on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Take a couple calls, and we're going to have Marlon Moore join us here in the Discount Drug Mart. Miguel in Cleveland. Miguel, how are you?
Gentlemen, first time caller to your show, man. I'm glad to finally break through.
Yes,
oh, you got it, buddy.
Thank you.
Man.
Happy to have
Appreciate
you.
It.
Hey, here's what I know, and you guys, while I was listening, kind of explained what the problem is with Brown's defense. But part of what I don't understand is how could they go from being at least a good defensive team from a defensive pass situation to almost non-existent? And why would you add Tremont Williams to this team where predominantly the Green Bay scheme is a cover two zone defense? I don't understand that move either.
You make a great point, and I think to digest everything that you just said is we go out and get guys as players. We're not essentially very strategic in regards to getting players to play in our specific scheme. We go out and get players and then mold them and tweak them to play in our scheme. And so, you know, your ability to go out and shop for players, you know, that have played in our system, have come in the same way that, you know, Josh McCown has played in John DeFilippo's system and Terrell Pryor in Oakland, why it makes some sense for things to happen a little bit faster for those guys. You're right. Believe me, you're right. And that's why, and what's so hard is that I know this is a defensive head coach whose hand is not in the defensive cookie jar, and he's really left that to Jim O'Neill. And that's why I don't personally feel, you know, you question anybody else but Jim O'Neill, because he's so rigid in his thinking, you know, in regards to not making the changes, to continue to just like, if he's going to take this, you know, take this trip, he's going to go down swinging, he's going to go down burning in flames, you know, and that's just really what it's going to boil down to.
Gene in Youngstown. Gene.
Are you there?
Yes,
here,
sir.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of mixed up over this Johnny Manziel thing. Okay.
Okay.
I can't understand it. You know, he's the one that's done all this stuff to himself. All right. No one told him to go out and party or whatever. In fact, they told him, let's see, you know, we're going to put you to a, I don't think they told him we're going to put you to a test, but we want you to keep your nose clean. We want you to, you know, study your plays and whatever. Now, if the Browns want to have a quarterback like Mariota or Carr or stuff like that, you don't hear anything from these guys, okay? They were drafted.
You're right.
They were drafted right by the team, okay? They've kept their nose clean as much as, you know, you don't hear anything about them, okay? But everybody's back on the bandwagon, okay? And let's play Johnny the last four games, or let's play Johnny this, or let's play Johnny. I don't think you should. I really don't. I mean, he's had his chance, and everybody's saying, well, they didn't give him a chance to play. Well,
no, they did. They in fact, they sat down a guy who had seemingly was not going to play him, sat down and said, all right, I'm finally giving you the keys to the car. Just don't go out and party and embarrass us. Okay, I won't. Then he goes and does it. Then he lies about it. And I get that you want to punish him, but you can't cut your nose off to spite your face. Ultimately, at the end of this season, you want to know if Johnny Manziel can play quarterback for you on the field. He's trying to tell you right now that I'm not so sure I can do it off the field. But on the field, can he? Because, number one, if you've decided you're done with him, all you can try to get out of him now is the best trade in return.
Yeah.
So you might as well let him showcase his wares and see what he can do. The other thing, for those who are Johnny haters, going against the Steelers and going against the Seahawks in Seattle and the Chiefs in Kansas City, that's going to be no picnic, especially with the way that our offensive line is.
James Harrison just had 3 sacks this past weekend,
okay,
right?
He's a monster.
Okay, you get Justin Houston in Kansas
and
City.
And Tom Bahaly.
And Tom Bahaly. You got Michael Bennett.
Cliff Averill.
And Cliff Averill.
Bruce Irvin.
In Seattle.
Frank Clark.
Good. In the movie, what is it, Taken?
Good luck.
Good luck, yes. And at the end of the day, the Browns knew what they were getting with Johnny Manziel. You can't say, I'm getting drafting Johnny Manziel, the choir boy. You're getting Johnny Manziel and all that goes along with it. So off the field, not much of a surprise. Disappointing, Yes. Is he the guy to blame? Absolutely. But I still am curious to see on the field Johnny Manziel. All right, we got time for one more caller. Let's get to Terry in Parma. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just moved back to Cleveland from Southern California, so it sort of dovetails with the last guy from California here. First of all, I want to pay the Browns fans a compliment. They have gone through more crap than most people will put up with in a lifetime. They've stayed loyal. They deserve a good team. I grew up here, 1964, a game with the Colts and so on. I was like a junior in high school. I ended up living in Cincinnati. I became a Bengals fan, so last week didn't really surprise me. They're just a better team. I mean, you know, they are. But I want to give the fans here a little hope. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Marvin Lewis, and it took him like 8 years to get to 500. And, you know, it was a big struggle. The Bengals at one point were a lot like the Browns are now. Not as deeply in it, but close.
We went through this. Remember we went through Marvin Lewis's record?
I do remember.
Was only under 8-8, what, twice?
Twice. And he made the playoffs in his third year in the NFL.
And now it'll be five straight. Now, he hasn't won a game in the playoffs, which is, I think that will change this season. But I get it. I understand it. And hopefully you're right. Hopefully better days will come. Speaking of better days, Armani Bryant has arrived, and Marlon Moore will be joining us when we return if he wants to. Or he could go if he wants to get. It's up to you. He'll give us five. He's going to give us five. You want to just do it right now, and then we'll take a break, Dino? Or can we just get him on right now?
Yeah, so if he's going to give you five, let's do it.
Yeah, he's on his way. Marlon Moore is here. Marlon, how you doing, man?
Yo, 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 yo.
Yes, Marlon Moore out here at the Discount Drug Mart on Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Armani Bryant has shown up. Marlon, where you guys are right now, obviously 2-10, not where anybody wanted to be. What can you do here over the final four games? What's the sentiment in the locker room about what to do here over the final four?
Man, the way I've been thinking about like this whole season really is, like our record reflects our season, but it doesn't define us as a team, you know. And we've been having some tough trying times this year. You know, we had a lot of tough trying injuries and whatnot. And, you know, we just have, it's been said, we have a lot of discord in the building. But I just want to clear that up, man. It's a lot of, you know, the team is together, you know, and we're a strong knit team. We're strong built. And despite everything that's going on, we haven't broken up. You know, we are still in everybody, you know, everybody's still in each other's corner. Everybody still has each other's back. And to get these last four games going, man, all it takes is just simply a win, point blank.
Agreed. And I do want to know, how are you feeling? Because I know you are one of the toughest guys, if not the toughest guys on this team. For you to leave a game like you did, I know you had to be banged up pretty good. How are you feeling today? And do you think you'll be ready for San Francisco?
I'm feeling good, man. I don't know about toughest. There's a lot of tough dudes on this team. Shout out to Josh McCown. Big up.
Yes. That guy is. Yes.
I'm feeling good, man. And, Lord willing, I'm going to be out there Sunday battling with my brothers just like any other day.
And how exciting has it been that, you know, under the circumstances of some of the injuries, that you've gotten more of an opportunity to showcase your ability as a wide receiver, the catch, the touchdown after getting knocked down early, continue across the field, McCown finds you in the end zone. And you think it's something that's going to help propel you, you know, whether it's here in Cleveland or somewhere else, that it's like, not only am I a great special teams player, but I'm a legitimate player as a wide receiver in the NFL as well.
Yeah, man, just unfortunate that we had the injuries we had, you know, but, you know, it's football, and you just got to pick up the slack wherever it is, you know. So coming in there and being able to make a few plays, you know, actually be able to run around in a Cleveland Browns uniform and play wide out as a Cleveland Brown, man, it was real refreshing for me. And being able to get in the end zone was even more refreshing. So hopefully, you know, I can continue on that and keep growing, you know, keep polishing my game to become a better receiver. And hopefully next year when we get started, you know, we're going to finish this year strong, so let's not leave that out. But next year when we get started, you know, the season will start off with, you know, me possibly being in that rotation instead of having, you know, to unfortunate situations happen to get there.
What's it like in that wide receiver room?
Oh, man. Our wide receiver room, it's a lot of fun in there, to be honest with you, man. Like, we buckle down. We study hard. We work, you know, because, like, we're a real close-knit group in our receiving corps. But at the same time, you know, levity is key.
worldwide leader in sports. Leader in sports. ESPN 850. WKNR, Cleveland.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Marlon.
But,
luckily,
we know.
Sorry, Marlon. We lost you. We lost you guys for a second. So I just played an ID.
It's all good. But luckily, you know, we got characters in our receiving room that, you know, keep us together. So we keep working, man. We keep striving for greatness every day.
How's Dwayne Bowe handling everything that's going on?
Bowe is handling it like a professional. You know, of course, he wants to be out there on the field. You know, that's one of my closest friends on his team, and he's one of the reasons why I am, you know, in a position I am right now with this team. You know, he helped keep me grounded and keep me sane. And, you know, for him to sit back and have to watch us and not be able to play out there on the field, it hurts. But he is always there, you know, to pick us up and help lift us emotionally.
I see that on the sideline. I'm honestly impressed by it because I think it'd be very easy for him to say, you guys just paid me all this money to come play receiver and you're not even going to let me play. Like,
And that's the thing, man. Like, he's not playing, and it may look like, oh, what is he doing wrong? What is he doing wrong? But it's not him, man. He's a great guy, and I just want the people of Cleveland to know that. You know, don't try to come down on Debo. He's a great dude.
Yeah, he wants to be playing. Yeah, I know that.
He does.
And my last question for you is just, obviously, McCown starts the season. Manziel's been in because of injury. Now Austin Davis because of, you know, Manziel's bye week